Happy New Year. I'm not as exuberant as one of us was on Thursday night, jumping up and down. When we talk about new things, it somehow, you like the new year, everybody makes a resolution that this year we're going to do this. I'm going to do something different, right? All kinds of New Year's resolutions. The other day at work, a couple of people were talking about One person was talking about dyeing their hair. And then I said, well, I'm going to go dye it after the new year. They just kind of, huh? It's just, okay. And, but, you know, the newness, this new thing, it's only new on the calendar. Okay? I am really, and in some financial settings, it's the end of the year. They got to do their end of the year books. Sister over there is just... end of the year, come on, I got to do all this stuff. And then pastor stuff, oh man. It's like, yeah, it's the end of the year, you know, end of a fiscal year. And then some fiscal years end in October. It's like, it got me confused. Anyway, we do this thing of the new year. We actually have 12 new days a year, don't we? The first of every month. Sorry. Like I said, I'm not a big one for the... New Year. I mean, I'll take the day off. No problem. And I'll say Happy New Year to people because, you know, it's something to do. And like I said this morning, sometimes we're happy for the wrong reasons. Okay? That song, Oh Happy Day, talks about the day that we accepted Christ as Savior. Okay? Do you remember that day? Okay. Do you remember how relieved you were? Oh, I remember, man. I was grabbing the back of the pew. Like I said, I think there's still fingerprints in that pew where I was grabbing. And then a buddy came up and I said, man, would you like to be saved? Because he saw me. I was sweating bullets. And I was like, ugh. Man, under conviction. Then accepted the Lord. And it was like that great weight got lifted off the shoulders or off the head. I was like, wow, this is interesting. Never had that happen before. Been drunk, been all kinds of stuff before, but never had that experience. Okay? And you remember after that how great things were that now you're a new creature in Christ. Didn't learn that portion until, I don't know, maybe a year or so later. It was finally taught in school or in Sunday school or church about being a new creature in Christ. Okay? And there are people that celebrate their spiritual birthday every year. They know it. I don't remember mine. It was the third week of August, 1977. Okay? That's what I remember. I don't remember the date. But other people can tell you the date, the time, and everything else. It's like, and they celebrate that being a new creature in Christ. Okay? But somehow, being a new creature in Christ only gets to our brain, only gets to our conscience up here. Yeah, I'm a new creature in Christ. Paul says old things are passed away. All things have become new. Somehow that doesn't get into the life. That doesn't get into the attitude of how we take on life. You know, people make a lot of resolutions, like I said, at the beginning of the year. First of the year, I'm going to go on a diet. Okay. Going on a diet is more than just following a plan. Okay. It's believing in that plan. Isn't it? It's committing yourself to that plan. It's committing yourself saying, I am going to do this differently. Okay. This morning I had a blueberry muffin. My diet didn't start well, did it? Oh, but if you carb count, then I can get X amount of carbs during the day, and if I shove that all at breakfast in the morning, then the rest of the day I have to live carb-free. Okay. But you see what that did? I have to live carb-free. I have to embrace these things. Being a new creature in Christ, as Paul says, we have to embrace it. And that means embrace it. That means like fully embrace. You ever go on a trip? You're away from a loved one for a long time. You come back. You meet him at the airport. What is the first thing you do? Man, you just rush to him and give him a big hug, right? Okay, some people just going, huh? Okay, so you don't love anybody that much. Okay, but you embrace them, don't you? Fully. Not one of these things, oh, it's good to see you, you know. No, man, you just hug them to death. You know, it's like, wow. You embrace these things in our life like that. Bring them in. Bring them close. Have a little intimacy there with what you do in our life, with our God who saved us. We have to embrace these things. Because we're not a new person just one day, by the way. We are a new person from that moment on. Okay. Paul says, old things are passed away. In another scripture, he says, I reach for the prize, forgetting those things which are behind. Too many of us are like Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, and I stand corrected. My daughter last week came up and said, you're wrong. How am I wrong? Pilgrim doesn't come to the cross twice. He comes back to the cross once. And he does ask the question, why am I here? I'm already saved. Well, you didn't leave your burden at the cross. Paraphrasing. Okay? You didn't leave that there for Christ to take care of, for God to take care of. Too many times as a new creature, oh, I'm a new creature, I'm saved. Everything's just, life is just wonderful. No, it's not really, because we always have that baggage. We carry that baggage. Some people, it's a little tiny, you know, maybe backpack or fanny pack or something. For others, man, it's a whole, you know, big thing of rocks that we're carrying, that we're dragging along in life. And then we kind of wonder, why is my Christianity not so full and vibrant or victorious? I mean, people throw that, the victorious Christian life. They throw that, I mean, from the 60s, I think, 70s, that gained popularity, gained traction. You need to live the victorious Christian life, so you got to do this. It became a mathematical equation. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. This is what you got to do. And if you don't do A squared and B squared right, C squared winds up all messed up. And I was like, wait a minute. We look at our Christianity and we are somehow poochy-lipped. Pastor Anker used to have that, poochy-lipped. Okay? Dragging around, trying to think, why is not my life better? The Bible says my life should be better because we're still in the old man. We have not embraced that new creature. We have not taken the things that are behind us and leave them there. Okay. Paul, in that example, or in other examples, he's talking about running a race. Okay. You ever see people run a race? The Olympics come on. Isn't this Olympic year or something? The Olympics come on. These people run this race. Do you see any of these guys that are out in front go like this to see where the other people are behind them? No. They reach forward. They say, oh, I got that little mark way out there. Or if they're doing the circle thing, it's right here, but I got to go around here four times. Okay? But they never look back. They may, from time to time, just do a glance left and right to see who's next to them. But they never look back. Because when you look back, you stop, you slow down. And you become like Lot's wife, who stopped. This is the wrong direction. Who stopped, who turned around from the way they were going out of town and said, oh, I'm leaving my cookbooks. I'm leaving all my stuff. I'm leaving all my kitchen utensils. I'm leaving, you know, my garden. I'm leaving, oh, man, my new washer and dryer. You just got that for me. My new washer. I'm leaving all that stuff behind. And it's like, you know, okay, that was chauvinistic. I agree. Okay. My wife would probably leave and say, oh, I'm leaving my guns. You bought me that one pistol. It's like, oh, man, I'm leaving those things. And fishing poles. We have to leave that, babe? Yeah, we got to leave that, honey. She actually did that when a fire was approaching our house one time. We were shoving everything into the Suburban, all that we could get, and we were leaving a lot of stuff behind. It's like, oh, do we have to leave this behind? Lot's wife did that. Man, she had a care and an affinity toward those things they were leaving behind and said, I have more desire for that than salvation with God, than living this new life. And what happened? She stayed and the catastrophe caught up with her. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Wow. Sometimes our Christian life is like that. We stop. We take a look at the things that we think we're missing out on. You ever seen this? We knew a pastor in Northern California once. A dear couple. We would visit a few times, a pastor and his wife. One day, the wife gets up and leaves. She says, I grew up not having any fun. I'm going to go out and have fun. So next thing she knows, she's in alcohol and drugs and stuff like that. She's like in all kinds of stuff that's like, you got to be kidding me. I want to have fun because I missed out when I was growing up. Been there, done that, have a t-shirt that I ripped up and threw away. You're not missing anything. I have had more joy and happiness since salvation. Because realizing I am a new creature. All those things back there, they don't matter. All the things from before don't matter. You know? And bottom line, all of my, you know, guns and fishing stuff, boat, it doesn't matter. Because Christianity is not just for certain portions of the life. Christianity is for all the life. You ever met anybody that's a member of the Rotary Club? No, really? They got that little pin. They seem to always be wearing a suit coat or a jacket or something, but they got that little pin, that Rotary. Looks like a gear. You guys never seen that little blue pin? Blue and gold pin. Okay, well, I guess. I don't know where you guys been all your life. Anyway, it's all about the Rotary Club for them. Let me tell you about the Rotary Club. We're not a secret society like the Masons, because Masons, you never know who's a Mason. But I'm a Rotary. Huh? The guys that are Shriners. I'm a Shriner. I got invited to a couple of Shriner activities, and it's like, oh, they want me to join their group. They were very subtle about it. It's like, no, I'm not going to join, because you guys are just ungodly. You ever seen the Shriner Temple downtown? Huh? It's on like Main or something. No, Riverside. They actually on the outside have the Egyptian gods. Listen, on the inside they have Egyptian sculptures. Moses Egyptian stuff. Okay. On the back they actually have a sphinx guarding their rear door. Okay. That's where they are. Okay. That's who they believe. The Elk Club. You ever met anybody that's an elk? The BPOE? And I forget what that, the Benevolent something something Elk Elks. I just know what it stands for. They'll tell you about the Elks Club. They live the Elks Club. They live the Shriners. They live the Rotary Club. And what, the Kiwanis. They live the clubs. Their finances are geared toward those clubs. Their activities and life is geared toward those clubs. Okay? They have their great social events wrapped around those clubs. Christians, you can hardly find them in church on Sunday mornings. And those you find in church on Sunday mornings, sometimes they're not there Sunday night or midweek service. How many churches, and we'll put that in quotes, do you find right now that are open in a midweek service? We are. Okay. How many churches do you find right now have closed Sunday night? Oh, because nobody's coming. If you close, then nobody will come. Jesus says, if you lift me up, I'll draw all men unto me. It's kind of like that Field of Dreams sings. If you build it, they will come. If you lift up Christ, they will come. In your life, if you lift up Christ, they will come and ask you. Peter says that. You live your life this way for Christ, for God, so that way they can look at your life and they will come up and ask you about that hope that lies within you. When was the last time somebody asked you? When was the last time somebody came up and said, hey, what is this? Why makes you so different? What is this about you? It's always a shock to me when it happens. Shouldn't be. But it is a shock. It's like, why are you asking me? I don't know. It's like, oh, I had the opportunity. Like Peter said, I could have told them about the Christ. I'm not here in my job for you. I had a supervisor do that, ask me once. What makes you so different from the other guys? You're dedicated, you're here, you do this, you know, you go above and beyond. And I said, you know, I was in the middle of work. I don't know, man. And we went on. About 5 minutes later, it's like, I had the opportunity to tell me about Jesus, and I missed it because I don't work for him. I don't work for FedEx. I work for God. My job here is God. We find that in the Old Testament too. Do you remember Joseph? Do you remember Joseph? Man, he was in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was the captain of the king's guard. The Pharaoh's, I don't know, maybe third or fourth right-hand man. He was the keeper of the Pharaoh's jail, which were political prisoners and all those people who offended the Pharaoh. These were big-time criminals. And this guy was the captain. And what does the Bible say? That Joseph found grace in Potiphar's eyes. Wow. But Potiphar was just an ungodly man. He was a heathen. He was a plural god worshiper. Yes, he was. And what made the difference? Joseph, living his Christianity. Okay, Christ hadn't come yet, I know. When I make statements like that, I can see people, well, he wasn't a Christian. Yes, he was, because he was Christ-like in the way that he lived, because the attitudes of being a Christian were in the Old Testament. We've been reading them in the book of Proverbs, have we not? Have we not looked at righteousness and foolishness and wickedness in the book of Proverbs? Have we not looked at what the mind of a saved person, a righteous person, should be, ought to be, and the life, how it ought to go? Haven't we been seeing that over the years? Wow. You mean that was in the Old Testament? Yeah. And we miss it. Because we, as Christians in our modern-day Christianity, somehow think that the Old Testament's no longer for us. That the Old Testament has been fulfilled and done away with. Only the law and the punishments of the law. Why? Because Christ took the ultimate punishment of the law on himself. Fulfilled the law in every aspect. And remember, the law was never intended to save people. The law was always intended to bring us to Christ. That schoolmaster. We heard that in a message here recently, didn't we? That schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. Our life ought to be new and vibrant and alive every day. Every day. I mean, sometimes people just get excited over some things. It's like football games, man. I'm guilty. Football games, I get excited. Sometimes I've jumped up on the couch. Yeah, yeah. It's like... And then the wife goes, would you quiet down? Because she's just right there. She says, honey, but did you see what happened? Did you see that? Did you? And she says, yeah, I saw it, but come on. Shouldn't people that we're around be telling us to quiet down about Christ? When was the last time somebody told you to quiet down about Christ? You know what that tells me? Because it's been a long time since that happened. That tells me I'm not living for Christ, where they can see it. Last time was about 3 years ago now. One of the guys at work was... He actually made this statement in front of me, there is no God, there is no Christ, there is no Jesus. I said, yes, there was. Actual physical person. I mean, it's proven historically and everything like that. We started to get a little discussion. And then he says, you know, hush up on this stuff. Now's not the time. His wife was over there. She says, well, you brought it up. And it was like, hush up about Christ to me. Yeah, it's been 3 years. I can remember that. It's like, but not since then. It's like, wow, something's got to change. Something in my life has got to be different. To point out again, not to belabor the point, but I have just admitted a fault to you. How's that? When the Bible says, when Paul says, admit your faults one to another, I do this constantly. And none of you have come up and said, hey, my fault is this. And I ask you for my faults, pray for me. You know, you don't like the way I teach Sunday school? Pray for that. You don't like what I say or how I say it? Pray for that. Same with pastor. Matter of fact, pastor will say, pray for me all the time that I can get up and preach the word of God in truth without fear of what man could do. Because there is coming a day and we have to have that new life embraced. We have to have that new life with us in practice, in full force, where people can see it. And not just, you know, oh, happy new year, it's a new year, we get to do all this new stuff. You know, there are times after a message we should walk away a different person, a newer person. Because we've been more fully expounded on that new and living way, not the dead way. There's a scripture that talks about the dogs that return to the they return to the vomit. Oh, don't talk like that. I've been told not to talk like that. Well, that's Bible, isn't it? The Bible, Jesus actually says that. It's like a dog that returns to his vomit. And we get the mental picture, don't we? I mean, right there, we get that mental picture. And if you've had a dog and you've watched him out and played with him, you have seen that. Well, who is Jesus talking to there? He's not talking to the dog. The dog's a dog. A dog will act like a dog. Sorry. He's not talking to lost people because a lost person will act like a lost person. He's talking to believers. When you go back to that old lifestyle, you are like that dog that turned into his vomit. It's like, nah, Jesus, you don't understand. I think Jesus does understand. Being the God who created you, he does understand. When you return to those elements of the old life, which Paul clearly teaches, we are to take off that old man like a garment, throw it over to the side, and put on that new man like a garment, and wear that garment. Spiritually, that garment is pure white, white as snow, shining, so shining, it'll blind you. Spiritually. Sometimes I wish we could take glasses and put it on and see spiritual light. But then again, maybe not. It's like sometimes I don't know if you've ever done this, getting together a lesson. Somebody pops into your head and pretty soon you're starting to gear the lesson toward that one person. I have to resist that. No, it's not for just one person. It's for everybody that's here. Everybody. And if somebody's going to bother to get the recording, it's for them too. Yeah. But that new person is not just to be celebrated once a year. It's to be celebrated every day. At least every Sunday. Because in David's time, it was every Saturday, by the way, when they went to the temple, I rejoiced when they said, I was happy. I was gleefully in my sight. And you know how when David got joyful, he danced in front of the Lord, leaped and everything. It's like, wow. He was so happy when the ark came back to the city, he couldn't help it. That's a southern term, which means help. He couldn't stand it. He had to go ahead and respond to it. When Jesus came into the city, and everybody was, you know, shouting Hosanna, Hallelujah, and putting down the palm arms, his disciples said, should we shut them up? No, because if they don't do it, these stones that we're walking on will do it. That would have been a sight, wouldn't it? See the stones get up and jump and say, praise God, Hosanna to the Lord, the Messiah is come and into the city. Wow. If that doesn't thrill your heart, what does? If that doesn't cause some joy or emotion in your heart, it's like, wow, You know, like when you were saved, you were just, I mean, it was like, I am lifted up. I am so happy. I am so, uh-oh, better watch it. We're going to start getting emotional in services, and then we'll have to, I don't know, we'll have to run up and down the aisle and jump and scream. And no, you don't have to do that. But at least let you smile. I used to love Brother, I still love him, Brother Sundin, even though he's passed. Some of the songs you could see, he said over there. He was so wrapped up in those songs. Emotionally, spiritually, he would start crying over there. He was a broken man because he's read the songs, and when it talked about joy to the Lord, he had joy on his face and a smile. It's like, wow, how come we can't be that way? Why? Well, I got to be reserved. We're Baptists. We don't believe in that. You know, this morning I was going to sing the song, Clap Your Hand, All You People. That's Old Testament, by the way. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout out to the Lord with a voice. Baptists don't clap your hands. First time I sang that song in church, people looked at me like, huh? Some people can't clap. They just, okay. But somehow we're forbidden to express joy and happiness at coming to meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ and worship the God that saved our soul. Why is it so hard for us to do?
Well, you don't understand my life.
You're right, I don't. You do not understand mine either. You do not understand what I go through on a day-to-day basis. But you know who does? The God that saved you. The God that reached down when you were ungodly, walking away from God, and said, here, here's my hand. I will lift you out of the miry clay and set you up to walk on that stone of Christ. The hard foundation that will never waver, that will never fail you. I will make you a new creature, give you a new name. In the book of Revelations, we're said that we're going to be given a new name. Okay? It doesn't say when we're given the new name, does it? Opinion. I'll tell you that. Opinion. Okay? I'm not one of those that preach their opinion as truth. Opinion. I believe that when you were saved, you got that new name. And God looks down and said, there's my new son. There's my new daughter. I'm not going to call him Fred anymore. I'm going to call him whatever name. It's probably some Hebrew name that I couldn't pronounce. It's like, wow. Anybody ever disappointed with the name their mom gave them? It's like, you know, couldn't you call me something else, like, you know, Bill or George or something? It's like, you know, couldn't you call me, you know. I got the name of Fred. Okay. Yeah, Fred Flintstone, you know, Fred and Scooby-Doo and all that stuff is like, okay. But that new name that we have, you're a new person with a new name, with a new soul, with a new spirit, with a new mind, with that Spirit of God that walks within you, with you, helping you. We don't have to wait till the 1st of January to make life new again. It's already there. That new and that living way. Not the old way, the dead way. Not the way that leads to death. Not the way that leads to depression and destruction and all this stuff. Man, there are things that happened to me when I was in elementary school. I wasn't saved. Okay, I got saved when I was 17 in high school. That I have to fight with. Otherwise, they take over. The feelings that you felt back then. Remember in elementary school? How emotional you were about stuff? And then you got to 12, 13 between junior high, or between elementary school and junior high, and you start, man, I'm glad that's over. Well, sometimes if we allow ourselves, we think back on that stuff. And it can sometimes, we let it overwhelm us, don't we? Paul. Paul in his old life has Saul. Had a bunch of stuff back there in his old life, didn't he? Did he do any bad stuff? No, because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Concerning the law, he was blameless. Well, so what bad things did he have to look back on? Remember at Stephen's stoning? He was a member. He was a Pharisee back then, I think, a member of the Sanhedrin court in order to give permission to stone Stephen. And they laid their coats at his feet. Here, here's my jacket. I'm going to get a stone. Okay. That was the first of many for Paul. He went into houses. And innocent people worshiping God as God requires, as God wants them to worship in spirit and in truth, took him to jail. Ultimately, when they were convicted of being a Christian, of that new sect, Christianity, when they were accused of, and it was proven that they were now a follower after Jesus and not after Moses, they too were stoned. Paul said, I have to take that and not let it control my life at this point. You get that from one scripture? Yeah, you got to study it, okay? And meditate on it. I have to take that, all that stuff that happened back then, and take it, put it at the cross of Christ, let him take care of it, and not let it rule my life now. There are too many times that we are still governed by our past, by things that happen. Preachers who come to a point in churches when they're fired or kicked out or they quit, they say, I'm never going to allow myself to be in that situation again. They have now let circumstances of people, sinful people, mind you, control their life and not God. Christians who say, well, that church, I'm never going back because they offended me. Yeah, well, you're ugly too, but that's beside the point. Sorry about that. That was something that was always a thing. I'm offended. Well, you're ugly too, but that's beside the point. They say, I'm going to let that rule my life instead of God, and I'm never going to come into church again. Church members do the same thing. I'm going to let somebody else's actions rule my life and not Christ. I'm going to listen to the words of something that happened 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, rule my life now rather than the Holy Spirit who's trying to get a hold of my heart this very instant. I'm going to let that rule my life. Sometimes it's regrets, things that we regret not doing or things that we regret doing, that rule our life. But Paul basically is saying you have to move on. Because God don't want you living back in that old life. That's the same thing as returning to the vomit. Oh, but I was saved back then. Yeah, well, it's still returning to old past sins. It's still the wallowing in the mire. And if you didn't know, mire is more than just mud, by the way. Okay? You'll forgive me. It includes all kind of waste products from the animals. So it's not just mud. Okay? It's all that stuff that's mixed in. Okay? Sewage. That's why when the Bible says that he lifted us up out of the mire, it's because that's where it came. You know, it's the mud that's got all the waste products and everything. That's where Christ saved you out of. I mean, come on. Isn't that a great thing? And yet here we are, maybe years later, wanting to go back to that. Ooh. I used to be a plumber. Automatically, your mind goes to things. I remember I was tying in a line, a waistline, to an old cesspool. And I was carefully tapping the brick out of the top so I could run my line inside. And some of the brick fell in, and I looked. The smell that came up was gagging. I don't gag much. But it was gagging. And I looked down, the brick was floating. That's where I first got the idea. This is mire. This is the part of the miry clay God said, save me out of. It's like, wow, that's amazing. Sometimes we don't get the picture of what the verses mean. And God wants us to get the picture because he says, look, if you go back to that, that's exactly what you're doing, is you're going to be swimming in that stuff. Ugh. Ucky. Ugh. And that's the way we should be, revolted, that we would desire that. Why? Why? We're a new creature. Old things are passed away. They're behind you now. Don't let that rule your life. But like Paul said, reach forward. Reach forward. From that moment on, you are a new person in God, in Christ. You are different than you were before. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the Old Testament. Listen to God and be that new person again. Brought back to life, revived, which means brought back to life. Is there something that we allow into our life that shouldn't be there? Are there things that we allow to come into our thoughts, regrets, passions, whatever, from the past, that we allow to rule us now? We got to be like Pilgrim. Come to the cross of Christ and say, God, I need you to take care of this. I need you to take this weight that I got, and it's yours. And you know, we should let him. We should let him. That way the smile on our face can be genuine. My sins were lifted at Calvary. Oh, happy day. I remembered that song this morning. First time I ever heard that song was on TV years and years ago, late 60s, early 70s. It was a black choir. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. It's like, you know, they're happy singing that song. I'm not saying we should get up and dance like they did, but they were happy singing that song. How do you know? It was on their face. It was in the way they sang it. It was in what they did. Wow. Why can't I be like that? That's why we sang it this morning. Oh, happy day. When Christ lifted my sins. Are we really happy for that? Or have we come to the point where it says, man, it's just a burden being saved. And nobody at work likes me. I don't know. Somebody should. Why? Because if Joseph could find grace in Potiphar's eyes, where does that put us? If Joseph could find grace in Pharaoh's eyes, where does that put us? If these people in the Old Testament could live such a life full of God that they do find grace in other people's eyes, where does that put us? In the New Testament, Paul even says that, man, we're going to find grace in the eyes of the government because of how you live for Christ. Yeah, people are going to hate you because there's always going to be haters. Okay? But we should be able to find at least grace with some people by the way we live our life. And we don't live our life because of other people. We live our life for God, because of God, because of what Christ did. The freedom that we have. To smile in church. Come on, everybody. Let's practice this. Let's smile. Hey, smile in church. Okay. All right, some of you did. Some of you didn't. No, I'm not going to do that. It's like, you know, how can people come up and ask us about the faith that lies within us if we're not joyful about that faith? Yeah, I know we didn't get to anything in Proverbs, but we're still working. on give your life over to God and He'll direct your paths. One of them is the path of happiness. Do you think David, when he said, "I rejoiced when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord," do you think he said, "Oh, let us rejoice. I rejoiced. Oh, I'm happy to be in church this morning. Oh, I just, you know, guys, I'm happy to be here." Really, David? You look like you'd rather be somewhere else. It's like you got something, is something else on your mind, David? Is it all the people that hate you? Is it all the people around you that hate you? Is it your brothers who put you down on the day of your fight with Goliath? And you know, those brothers didn't change their opinion just because he beat Goliath, by the way. Why? Because I know brothers and sisters. Don't you? I mean, it doesn't matter. Sometimes your brothers and sisters, you're just the brother. You're just the little brother. You're just, you know, the brother. But I don't believe David said, I rejoiced when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I believe when somebody came up alongside him and said, hey, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to the temple and worship. That a smile got on his face. That a smile came up there. Why? Because my God has saved me. And I'm going to go worship that God with my brother here or sister, whoever it was that came up and said, I rejoice when they said. He went up with brothers and sisters of Christ to rejoice and worship God. This morning, not because it's the first, but this morning because it's God and you are a new creature, change. Allow God to change it. It's like, wow. And again, you could use the excuse, but you don't know my life. I don't have to know your life. I know mine and I know God. And if you can't find happiness and that peace with God, something's wrong. There's a schism, which means a separation between you and God. Or something's working on your heart that's trying to separate you from God. Could be friends, could be family, could be work, could be whatever. Could be the government. Just don't let that happen. And do like Paul said, hold fast. Grab a hold of that. Hold fast. All right, we're out of time. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for, Lord, just your word. Father, I pray and ask, Lord, you just touch our hearts today. That, Father, we can have that hope renewed. That, Father, that we can once again embrace you as our Savior. And that, Father, Lord, we'll be happy for realizing the salvation that we have with you, Father, and that good that you want for us in our life. Father, I pray and ask you be with Pastor. Give him the spirit to speak. Give him the words to speak. Give him an open mouth of utterance. Father, I pray and ask you just help him to speak those things that you laid upon his heart, Father, freely and independently and boldly before us as men and not fearing what we think. Father, I pray and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.